Hey there, it's Lacey J from Space Bear Media, the makers of Lost in My 40s. Did you know that you can go to spacebearmedia.com right now to access all our content, including our weekly video pre-shows where your hosts ponder ethical questions related to the week's episode and answer some fun questions just for, well, fun. Speaking of fun, if you have it thanks to our content, please consider rating or reviewing Lost in My 40s on your favorite app or recommend us to a friend who loves Lost. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lost in My 40s. Special episode 26. We're going to talk about theories and questions, both from Derek and I did a little bit of research and I found out what the big theories were back when this originally aired at the end of season one. What did everybody think? I poured through some old articles, checked the dates, and found out for you. So, welcome, Ben, Christy, Derek, how's everybody doing? Reeling still from the end of season one, I suppose?
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I remember that, so not necessarily reeling.
Oh, because you knew what was going to happen. You know what? So we've just finished season one, and I got to say, this is probably, considering how many times I have to watch it to produce the show, you know, it's five or six times I've seen these episodes, and I still managed to be taken aback by a few moments during season one. The original discovery of the hatch and when Claire pops out of the jungle after being kidnapped, both of those moments really got me. Christy, tell me, did you find the same? You've seen it all the way through as well. We already know Ben's forgotten most of the show. So I'm curious, did you have some moments where you were just like, oh, fuck, I forgot about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout the whole season, there were things that I had forgotten about. So some of them were just absolute shocking surprises. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, now I remember that. And then others were kind of pleasant surprises.
Okay. So. Yeah, I think for me, it was the pleasant surprises. It wasn't that I didn't know the hatch was coming. And obviously, I know Cher. Wait a second. I knew Claire. I knew Claire was coming back, but I didn't remember, like, it was at the end of that episode. And I literally gasped when I watched it. It was like, oh, my God. So, Derek, how are you feeling after the end of season one? I know, you know, we did final impressions in the last episode, but has it sunk in? Are you enjoying it, I guess?
I am, and I'm enjoying it a lot, actually. More than I even thought I would. I mean, because there's a lot of surprises and things you don't expect to have happened in the show that are happening. And still, yeah, there's a lot of questions, too.
Right, and it's amazing to hear you say that after season one, because it's true, but, like, it just gets so much more complicated and so many more surprises to come. That's why I love this show. So, yeah, Derek, let's see. Tell us, what are some of the lasting questions? What are things that came up this season that were not answered right away?
Well, one of the big ones is, like, what is the smoke monster? You know, they say it's apparently a security system. But why didn't it kill Locke, but it killed the pilot right away, you know, in the very first episode?
Right. Okay, that's interesting. So the piece of information you're relying on there is that Danielle says it's a security system. So right. I guess we don't really know if she's right or wrong. But if you operate on that position, that is correct, then what's the distinction between the pilot and Locke? Why would it? Although I guess, you know, it did drag him through the jungle as if it was taking him somewhere. So I suppose we could say maybe it was trying to kill him, but we don't really know that, do we?
I think it's more like, it's just like a puppy playing with its friend. Yeah. it grabbed a rope and it was just like, hey, you're my friend. I'm playing with you. You know, because if it really wanted to kill him, It wouldn't bother him dragging down a hole. It would just do what it did to the pilot, right?
Because remember, the pilot, they just killed him right above him. You know, the windscreen was covered with blood. So it was
exactly.
Pretty quick death.
He went full predator on the pilot. So yeah. Something tells me, like, I think it wasn't necessarily trying to kill Locke. I think it, obviously, Locke recognizes something in it, and it didn't kill him, so it recognizes something in him. I always thought that it was trying to show him more.
And you know what? It seems like that's Locke's impression too, isn't it? When he's like, let me go, I'll be all right. It does seem like he thinks I guess Locke is like, he's looking for answers on the island. He's trying to understand the island, and he sees it as its own entity. And I think, yeah, that would make sense that he, you know, wants to go like Alice in Wonderland. He wants to go down the hole and find out what the deal is.
Yeah, because he thinks the island is alive because, you know, he said, you know, Boone had to be sacrificed for the island.
Right. Yes. He did say that. He definitely treats the island as if it is its own sentient kind of entity, I think.
And what a shitty thing for him to say.
That Boone was a sacrifice really the island demanded.
Really yeah. I mean, it might be what he really thinks, but I mean, that's certainly not going to be of any comfort to Shannon.
Yeah.
Well, no, but who cares about comforting Shannon?
Yeah. She's been sweet in the last part of the season, you know?
Yeah, Saeed is making
her a lot sweeter.
She does have some growth in this season. And when we come back next season, we will do a little recap and we'll talk about everybody's journeys through season one. And since I already have that outline, I can say, yes, I happen to mention that Shannon has some growth, but still.
growth like a growth. Cancer. You know what? Yeah. Shannon is cat piss. She hasn't gotten better. God. You've only gotten used to the smell.
Oh, no, I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
I couldn't get used to the smell of cat piss.
Yeah, slightly.
No,
slightly
I
less,
don't know. But I feel like Christy had a cat that tested that theory. And
oh, hell yeah.
He paid on everything, didn't he? And it was like real bad.
Yep. Rest in peace, little man.
Well, she didn't. That makes it sound like you killed him. You didn't. You made him a barn cat. Rest in peace, you bastard. You sent him to live on a farm, which also sounds like you killed him, but you legitimately sent him to live on a farm.
I quite literally sent him to live on a farm. He spent almost 2 years there before he developed some major health conditions and we had to say goodbye. So
yeah, but he was happy as a barn cat, so that's good.
He was the king. So
I'm sure
he was. We've gotten off on a really crazy tangent here talking about little man.
Well, how did it start? Oh, Shannon is like cat piss.
Yeah, you just get used to the smell eventually.
You don't, though. You don't. It's really bad and really acidic and terrible. No.
Well, yeah, because when I was young, my parents, we had a Persian cat that would piss everywhere except for the litter box.
Persians are those are fancy.
They lived
cats.
18 years, though, which was a long time for a cat back then.
It's a long time for a cat who pisses everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that cat would. We basically kept her in the utility room because you know, she would piss her shit everywhere.
Wow. Yeah, cats can live pretty long. Working in the veterinary industry, the longest cat I ever saw, the oldest cat I've ever seen as a patient was like 29 years, I think.
Jesus.
Oh God.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it didn't look real good, but they can live a long time. Yeah. Tangents.
That's not
great.
A cat. That's a mortgage.
Yeah.
All right. So, Derek, big lasting question. What is the smoke monster? Yeah. So you will we will have some answers for that, but it's going to take a long time to get there. So hold tight on that question. Did you have others or was that the big?
No, I do. I got. Next one is what is the hatch and why is it there in the first place?
Okay, well, unlike your last question, that one is going to be answered pretty much right away in season two. You're gonna get some answers for that.
I don't think the why is answered. I think the what is answered.
Yeah,
perfect. Agreed. Yes, you are correct. The what is inside is answered very quickly. Why it's there, you do get answers in season two, but it's gonna take two or three, maybe four episodes.
Yeah, the why is
like
the
that.
More important.
Yeah.
At
yes,
least to me, it's like
yes, you will find that out. You will find that out in season two. But yeah, I guess that's kind of an obvious question. Is like they're supposedly on this deserted island that seems to keep popping up more people left and right, and now it's got this. Now it's got this hatch. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know if there's much to discuss about that. It's just like, yeah, what's in the hatch and why?
The next one is, who are the others?
Right. Who are the others?
Indeed.
That is an excellent question.
It is an excellent question. And that question unfolds over a few different seasons. And there are actually layers to who the others are. That is a very complicated answer, but you will get some answers, and there will be many new characters to come in seasons two and three. Almost an entire cast is introduced in season two. You get a whole other cast in season three. You get a whole other cast again. Wow. Right? Am I right about that, Christy?
I mean,
Yes, about season two. I'd have to think. I'd have to really wait and see about season three because
season three again. Yeah,
I don't know if that happens in season two or season three. So
okay, right. And what were you saying, Ben? You were about to say something.
I mean, yeah, I don't remember exactly when all the various casts are kind of unveiled and rolled up. But yeah, there's a lot of fucking people in this show over the six seasons.
I'm sure they'll start killing some of the people off, too.
So, yeah, there is another main character death in season two. Yep. Pretty soon in season two. There's a very controversial one in season three. And then we start speeding up the death train at the tail end, the last few seasons.
There's, when people are like, I'm done. My contract was up. I gotta move on.
But the interesting thing is like some of the best characters in the show haven't even been introduced yet. They don't, you just don't know them in season one. They are still to come. I think two of my favorites will pop up in season two, one fairly quickly, the other one somewhere like halfway, three quarters of the way through, I think. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
I can see Ben's face.
I feel like all you're doing is kind of like trying to do like veiled teasers at this point. So I feel it's gotten a little hyper analytical.
Okay, so Ben says, Derek, what's your next question?
Well, are there other people from the plane alive on the island? Because in the episode where Boone was up in that crashed plane, they heard something on the radio that says, we were in a plane crash, is there anyone else? So it makes me kind of believe maybe.
Yeah, and I remember you caught that piece of dialogue, and I had watched the show numerous times and always thought that it said there were no survivors, but you actually looked up the dialogue and they said, we are the survivors, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right? I never caught that, but I just got goosebumps because that's such a cool line.
So that kind of it gives it away that at least at the time that Boone was in that plane, there appear to have been some other living survivors. So,
and even though we haven't seen her in a long time, that Rose believed that her husband was still alive. He was in the back of the plane.
That's right. Bernard, she says he's definitely alive and she absolutely knows it. And so in season two, we find out whether or not she is right. We'll put it that way.
I think Rose, she definitely found a big old stash of indica.
She's super chill.
She is. She is on the beach most like out. Gentle, mellow chick. Like,
Right. Well, I mean, maybe she and Sun have like another little patch of garden that we just don't see. I'm pretty sure they grow some pretty good weed in Hawaii, which is where they actually are. So, right? Is that Maui? Is it really from Hawaii?
I don't know. Mm. I'm sure at some point it had to have something to do with Hawaii, but it could also just be somebody said, "Oh, wowie, that rhymes with Maui." Let's Yeah. That's the brand.
It absolutely could be that simple. There's a lot of weed named that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially by stoners.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Derek, do you you have other questions?
Just one more is, what was the sickness that killed Danielle's crew?
That's a good one. Oh,
that's a great question.
Because, see, she said she was there that long before they started getting sick, but these survivors have been there 44 days and no one has gotten sick yet.
And no one has gotten sick.
They're French. Okay. It was just cheese withdrawals.
Oh, my God. Cheese and wine, yeah.
Cheese and wine withdrawals, yeah.
That's
du fromage.
That's an awesome question, Derek. I'm going to leave that one alone for right now. That is a complicated question. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, babe.
Got any special occasions coming up that you need a card for?
Is this a trick question?
No, it's an advertisement.
Is this about barbcards.com again?
Bingo.
So I suppose you're going to remind me that each handmade card is only $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't come with busy backgrounds or flowery poetry?
You got it. Barbcards.com offers to-the-point communication within several different categories, including our favorite, potty mouth. And if you can't find what you want, barbcards.com can do customizations.
Can I still get all of my cards for no more than $4 shipping, no matter the size of the order?
You know it. Barbcards.com has got all you need. Hey, Ben.
Oh, my God. What are we selling now?
Merch.
Our merch?
Yes, sir. Shirts, coffee mugs, wine tumblers, bottle openers, stickers, magnets, and more. Your choice of product and your choice of Space Bear Media graphic from any of our podcasts.
Please tell me we're not making merch now, too.
Of course not. We'll stick to podcasts and Pixis products will do the rest.
Thank God. I bet you have more to say, though.
Sure do. Pixis Products is a small business run by a local mom, well, local to us anyway, who needed something else to do besides being a snack bitch.
A what?
A snack bitch, also known as a mom with a young child.
There's still more, isn't there?
Yippers! Pixis Products works with other small businesses for supplies, art, and other collaborations at every opportunity, including ours. In fact, Pixis Products even gave Space Bear Media our own storefront on their site. You can find us at shopspacebear.com.
Say what?
You heard me. Go to shopspacebear.com and buy something. Fun, even trying to remember every storyline. There are some gaps in my memory, too. I feel like, I know, Ben, you feel like you've completely forgotten most of the show, right?
No. I mean, I forget. Okay. There's things that surprised me when I was watching it. And there's other things I was like, oh, yeah, you know. And other things that I knew exactly what was going to happen next. It was very kind of selective.
Okay.
Yeah,
but agreed. But all in all, I've really enjoyed watching it again because there's been enough there that, you know, that I didn't remember, and I, even with the things I did, I've enjoyed, so I've enjoyed it on the whole.
Yeah.
So, Derek, let's talk about what is going on in your mind there. Have you worked up any theories at all?
Maybe a couple, you know, like one of the ones I thought originally or, you know, right now is, you know, maybe they're actually dead already. And this is like a, some kind of purgatory where they have to, you know, atone for their sins, you know, because that's what, you know, Sun keeps thinking, you know, there's something
that's,
we did in our past.
That's a very,
very
popular theory.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And we will talk more about that shortly, because that is one of the things that I have as part of my little research, because that was a popular theory for most of the running of the show. I believe.
I think they're, I thought that they were in a giant interactive simulation, that it was like sort of a, you know, sort of a Matrix thing, but ultimately like kind of like a Bermuda Triangle. They disappear. And the first thing I thought of was maybe they were captured by some sort of aliens or something like that. The aliens have taken them and put them all into a simulation to test
the
human condition. Wow. That Bermuda Triangle used to be real big when I was younger.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by that thing.
And I was like, convinced no one ever talks that was going to be a problem for my life between that and quicksand.
I do remember that. Like, I guess, you know, we're all roughly the same age. And it did seem like there was a lot of talk about the Bermuda Triangle when we were younger. Yeah. It's weird.
Going back to Ben's theory about it being aliens and everybody's in a simulation, maybe the aliens just put everybody into a big old terrarium.
That too, yeah. Like Dark City. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
No, but Lacey almost spit her coffee out.
I did.
She did.
I did, almost. That was close. Well, I'm just like picturing aliens like leaning over and they're in like the island is a little bowl and they're all in there. Yeah. And then the aliens
they
are like,
blow a puff of smoke and that's the smoke monster.
Ooh, look, they made it.
They found the hatch. They found the hatch.
They made it at one of those wine and terrarium nights, like the wine and paint night.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Derek, did you have any other theories you wanted to share before we move on to the couple I have for us?
Well, I noticed, like, you know, this season they introduced all the characters. You know, a lot of them had their own episode and showed us their lives before they ended up on the island. And some of the characters, their lives actually improved. You know, like Boone. You know, he was in a wheelchair, really
Locke.
A nothing.
No,
Locke.
Boone, Locke was in a wheelchair.
I'm sorry.
Booth. Yeah. It was Booth.
Booth.
Boone runs Locke a business.
Locke was in a wheelchair before on the island. He was pretty much a nothing. You know, he worked for a box company.
Right.
He was a regional collection supervisor for...
His boss was Randy fucking Nations.
Randy Nations.
Randy douchebag.
So now on the island, he's, you know, he's important. He's able to walk and he believes it's his destiny to be there. So
He walks the walk too. Like he steps up.
Yeah.
So destiny?
Towards the end, he seemed to be kind of having problems.
Doubting himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So maybe doubting himself and then he.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Boone thinks it's his destiny to be there.
Locke. What is your deal?
God, why did I keep saying Boone? Jesus Christ.
Maybe you need to go get another cup of coffee.
Drink
he
less
does.
The night before.
Uh-oh. So he does believe that it's destiny, and that is a theme that continues, and it's a, you know, the rift between he and Jack, like episode one of season two is called Man of Science, Man of Faith, and that is you know, destiny is a thing that they talk about for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I have two big theories that were floating around at the end of season one. So the first is that people became convinced that the hatch is an actual representation of the Greek myth of Pandora's box. And
that's a strip club on Harry Hines in Dallas.
Uh-huh. Oh, is it?
Pandora's box.
That does not surprise me.
And so if they open it, and you know, the myth of Pandora's box says that when she opened the box, all the misery and sorrow escaped from it. It was all put in there by the gods. And here's the thing that caused the theory. Because in the myth of Pandora's box, when she opened it and all the misery and sorrow escaped, the only thing that remained in the box was hope. And if you remember, when our friends were on the journey to the Black Rock and back, Hurley and Locke have a discussion about what they think is in the hatch. And Hurley names
Twinkies.
All like food and like, you know, amenities and all of the things that you would hope were in there. But Locke says he thinks that it's hope. And so that was what started that theory. So episode 19. Oh, God, I'm going to have to try to say this again. Deus Ex Machina? Is that right?
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina, yeah.
That was the name of the episode. So if you remember back to the end of episode 19, that's when Locke is pounding on the hatch and he causes the light to appear in the hatch. The title of that episode was Deus Ex Machina, the one that I had such trouble pronouncing. Well, that phrase was used in ancient Greek drama to indicate the appearance of a god on stage. And so these gods in the drama, they would appear and their purpose was to bring order from chaos and essentially like resolving the plot of the play. And so the hatch as Pandora's box, the hope inside of it, and the phrasing of that episode is what weaved together this sort of theory that the fans had at the time. And
I feel like these same people that were coming up with these theories are the same people that are doing Q drops now.
Maybe. The one other thing was when Walt suddenly changes his tune and tells his dad they need to get off the island because he tells Locke, don't open that thing. That was another hint, which was like, when you open it, it's going to release all kinds of chaos and destruction. And so that was one theory. What do you guys think about that? Is it believable after season one?
Maybe it's a Dybbuk box. Do you know what a Dybbuk box is?
No.
No clue.
I think it's pronounced Dybbuk. It's it's a box that in Jewish, I hope that I'm not saying this wrong, but basically in Jewish folklore or whatever, if there's a demon that's hunting a person, it can get trapped in a box. They can trap it. And then the box never needs to be opened again. But if it gets opened again, then the Dybbuk will get out and basically take possession of a human to try to take over their body.
This sounds like the plot of Hellraiser.
Hellraiser, that's the first thing I thought of.
I haven't seen that. However, I did
really watch... It's a great series. Well, the first two are good.
They scared the shit out of me as a kid.
Pinhead.
I did just watch The Possession with Jeffrey Dean Morgan because Jeffrey Dean Morgan's in it. And that's basically what it's about. But I had previously heard about the Dybbuk box on an episode of a podcast called Scared to Death.
Oh, yeah. I know you love that podcast.
Yeah. And that story was the basis for the movie, The Possession.
Well, it also sounds like Hellraiser's loosely based on that as well. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. Yeah.
Since you said that term, all I can think of is it's my Dybbuk in a box.
Oh my God.
Seriously. That's immediately you said that. I'm like, how can I work that in?
Okay. So the last theory we're going to talk about is the one that came to your mind as well, Derek. It's an extremely popular theory. We'll talk more about it after other seasons, but it is that the survivors actually died during the crash and the island is purgatory. So a few more details about that.
Purgatory. I know what it is, but what mythology or religion did that come from?
Catholic.
Actually, they got rid
of it, though. They said there's no more purgatory.
Okay.
I guess you can just decide that, but it was a Catholic tradition. Yeah. So if you weren't, I guess if your soul wasn't
I know. I know what it
to
is.
Heaven or hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
it's your penalty box.
Right. Well, it was also a place for the souls of babies
that hadn't been baptized. That's fucked up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And then that was a permanent destination for them.
Yeah. Because we're all born as sinners. You know, they were sinners, but they hadn't really done anything bad enough to get sent to hell. But since they weren't baptized, they couldn't go to heaven.
So it's a whole bunch of fucking nonsense. But
Catholicism is ridiculous.
Fucking nonsense. All right,
so people noticed that each character basically has something in their past to atone for. Through each one of their, you know, character-specific episodes, we found out there was some shit that went down, right? So as that being a theme amongst the characters, people started to think, well, obviously, you know, this is where they get to either get better or not. So A few of the other details that people used to put together this theory is that in Dante's description of Purgatory's highest point, so there are levels within Purgatory as well. Oh,
that's Dante's peak, right?
No.
I'm pretty sure it is. I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So at the highest point of Purgatory is the Garden of Eden, says Dante. And so that is what people thought the representation of the island was saying, that they were in the highest level of Purgatory, and that the caves had their own Adam and Eve. Was another hint, like, okay, here's Adam and Eve. They're dead here in the Garden of Eden. We're in Purgatory. Two other things. One main character died in season one, and that was Boone. And it happened shortly after he got over his sister fucking. And so the fact that he passed on after seemingly fixing the issue he had in his flashbacks, that's evidence of he's graduated from Purgatory, right? And the just scene
flew out of there with his eyebrows going.
Yeah.
And then the scene where Locke almost gets dragged down into the hole was viewed as either he's being pulled down into a lower level of Purgatory, or maybe he's just being dragged to hell. And that was what some of the ideas that people had. What do you guys think of that?
I mean, I'd like to understand why, if that was a theory, why would Locke be going to hell? What had he done? Was it pride? Was it pride that pulled him down? Like, it has to be linked to some sort of, like, if we're talking about Catholic mythology, and I'm going to use the word mythology, like, there's seven deadly sins, right?
It's a good movie, too. Seven.
Seven is a good movie.
It's in the box.
So if he did, so he didn't murder anybody. He didn't
covet anyone's wife or anything
or whatever. That's a commandment. Never mind. But was it pride?
I don't know. I don't know what that would be. I guess I'm not really sure. I was never on board with the Purgatory theory because it seemed too simple.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it is.
It seemed too simple and too obvious. And what's interesting, like, we'll talk more about this theory and how it progresses as the seasons go on, you know, at the end of season two and three. But people did get really, really insistent that this is, like, definitely what was going on. And it eventually started to annoy the writers. I was never on board with it. Well, I'm not religious, so I thought, oh, is that really what they're going to do, is just, like, make this some Catholic mythology? And so I was kind of annoyed by that. But it was definitely popular. But I can see, where, Ben, that's kind of a hole there. Like, what was Locke's deal? Well, and maybe it was just a lower level of Purgatory. I don't know. I like your guys' idea better, that he was, like, friends with the smoke monster and it was going to take him to Wonderland.
Yeah. Yeah, because when he first saw it there, he was kind of had that smile on his face, like, hey, buddy, what's up?
He really did, yeah. But obviously, I mean, Derek, you came up with the same thing, just like everybody did when it originally aired. So it's obviously an easy thing to put together, which is why I feel like it annoyed me so much, because I thought, really? Like, I feel like these writers are better than to just go for the super obvious thing.
Yeah.
Right?
But I feel like if you are going to take that tack, you could also look at the smoke monsters, the serpents.
Mm. Oh, I mean, that's just interesting.
From a physical metaphor state, like a physical metaphor, like it's sort of serpent-esque.
Certainly, as it when it once it shows itself in the smoke pattern, it moves that way. Yeah, that's kinda interesting.
Darts around.
But then there's some characters that haven't done things worthy of Purgatory. Like, what has Hurley done? I mean, he just won the lottery.
He carries about everything he did, though.
Yeah, but he carries so much guilt because he thinks everything is his fault.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, like, it's all me. It's all me. He thinks he brought this whole thing on himself. So maybe he's living through his own guilt, even though he didn't outwardly, like, harm other people.
Sure. Well, and the other thing is, we don't really know why he was in a mental hospital.
Right. Yeah. It's true. Psych ward.
Right. We only know that he was there, and he does talk about how, you know, the stuff I put my family through.
Yeah.
So like he's a good, he's the mayor of Island Town on the island, but something happened with him and his family that we don't yet know about. Right.
True.
Yeah.
So there. Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, guys, I feel like that's it. Those, you know, are the biggest theories that were out there after season one. Derek, you've got some great questions. I can't wait till we get to the point where they start getting answered. This is super fun for me, living vicariously through your first view of this show. We'll see you back on May 18th. We'll do a season one recap and drop the first two episodes. And I guess that's that. Shall we say bye, everyone?
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Lost in My 40s is a Space Bear Media production. Executive produced and edited by me, Lacey J. Sound engineering, editing, and original music by Benjamin Trim. Like and follow Lost in My 40s on Facebook to interact with your hosts. Plus, follow Space Bear Media on YouTube to watch our episode pre-shows. You can also find us at SpaceBear_Media on Instagram and Twitter. Or come to our website, spacebearmedia.com.